go to Jeremiah chapter 1. I want to look at the topic of the days of Jeremiah. As you know, Jeremiah was a prophet, and wonderful man. And you know, if you know anything about Jeremiah, which I'm sure you know lots about him, the days of Jeremiah were not great days. There's a great, you know, large book in the Old Testament written by Jeremiah called Jeremiah.
What?
Yeah, surprise, surprise. And then there's also a book written by him called Lamentations. And so, you know, if you wrote a book called Lamentations, it's a good chance that he lived in a time that wasn't really all that wonderful. But I didn't want to look at this just to understand the days of Jeremiah. I want to look at it in light of the days that the sections we're going to read talk about are not unlike the days in which we live. So you're going to see a lot of parallels of what believers today have to deal with as Christians. And, you know, they're echoed very, very firmly in the prophet Jeremiah's life. The themes you're going to see as we read a bit here is you're going to see a fear of the truth. People in the world fear the truth. You're going to see the kingdom of the adversary and how it orchestrates evil against those who would speak the truth. But you're going to see, above all, the great deliverance of God in every situation and circumstance as those who serve him will look to him. And, you know, and despite the situation being dire, God still delivers, God still blesses, God still takes care of his people. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came." And here it tells you when Jeremiah prophesied. "The word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign." So that's when it started. "It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah." That's very, very specific, isn't it? "The son of king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month." So those are the kings during which he prophesied. And if you go look at the history of the kings, there's two that aren't mentioned there that come between those three kings. And that's because those two kings only reigned for 3 months each. Right, so they didn't really, and they had a very, very evil reign. So that's Jehoahaz and Jehoiachin. They're not mentioned here at the beginning. But Jeremiah was still there, and he was still prophesying. We can go to Jeremiah 36. Just going to read here a little bit. So by the time we get to Jeremiah 36, the reign of Josiah has already passed. And if you read about Josiah, wonderful king, had an amazing Passover. He got rid of so much idolatry in Judah. If you ever read that section, Kings, it's a list page after page of all the idols that he had destroyed so people would turn to the one true God. Yet after that, people still kept going back to idolatry, to the point that by the time we get to Jeremiah 36, the northern tribe of Israel has already fallen. They've been carried away into Babylon captive. And so now Jeremiah is here with Judah, and he's prophesying what's going to happen here. And let's read in verse 1. "And it came to pass," we know this chapter, but just to read it in terms of what was going on in his life. "And it came to pass in the 4th year of Jehoiakim," so there's the son of Josiah, king of Judah, "that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, the days of Josiah, even unto this day." You know what he's doing? He's getting Jeremiah to write down everything he has prophesied since the day he started. Because it says here, from the days of Josiah, and that's when he started. He's having him write down everything that he prophesied Could that possibly be the book of Jeremiah? He said it's got everything recorded that Jeremiah prophesied. And here, he's asking him to, that's quite a lot of material. You can see here, it's going to take him a bit of time. Verse 3, maybe that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. So God told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had his scribe Baruch write down what God was telling him. And Jeremiah, verse 5, commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. So, you know, God was giving these people a chance to hear his word. And like I said, it's not unlike the times we live in today. Everybody has the opportunity to hear the word of God if they want it. And everybody has the opportunity to respond the way they choose to respond. It's up to them. No one makes you or me believe God's word. No one makes anybody you speak the word to believe it. They have the opportunity. Same thing here in Jeremiah's time. God said, look, here you go, Jeremiah. This is what's going to happen. Just write this down. Please tell them so they know what's going to happen. Verse 8, and Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, in the ninth month. This is at least nine or more months later from verse 1. So it took him a bit of time to write down everything that he had prophesied since the days of Josiah. So 9 or more months later, verse 9, that they proclaimed a feast fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court, the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. So here they are, they're all getting a chance to hear what God, not what Jeremiah wants to communicate, but what God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, wants to communicate to his people. They're getting a chance to hear it. Verse 11, when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, all these men. Verse 13, then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Methaniah, the son of Shemaliah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll when thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So they want other people to hear it. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, look, sit down here and read in our ears. Let's hear this. So Baruch read in their ears, which is a good place to read. Now it came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid. So they heard the word of God. It says they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. They said, we heard the word of God, and they said, they got afraid. Let's take this to the king. This is important. Now you're going to see several reactions here to the word of God. You know, when the word of God is spoken by you or anybody, you get these various reactions. Some people hear it and they go, oh my goodness, I can't believe I didn't know this. Others, we're going to see the reaction of others here in a minute. Verse 17, and they said, they asked Baruch, so like, how did you write all this down in his mouth? Then Baruch answered, it was very complicated. He pronounced all these words, now get this straight, step one, he pronounced these words on me with his mouth, and I wrote them down. Daniel. Want me to say that again? Right? You know, interesting, but very simple. You know, this is a good example of how the entire Word of God came to us, as we know from the Walk in God's Power class. You know, God told his people, and his people wrote it down. God is the author. People are the writers. That's why you have different ways of writing each one. But God is the author. That's why there's no contradiction in the whole Word of God. So here he writes it down. Where are we? Verse 19. Then the princes said unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And look, you guys have to go into hiding. This is important stuff, okay? And he went into the court, king, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elisha the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elisha the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes. Now the top echelon, the king and all his princes, are getting a chance to hear it. It'd be like going into the, you know, parliament here, right? Mr. Speaker, I got something to say. And you read to him what God has revealed. And you probably get the same result in the House of Commons or that you're going to see here. Right? Verse 22. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning beside him, before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he didn't even get a chance to finish, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. How long had it taken Jeremiah to write some of this stuff down? We're talking about the Word of God. The creator of the heavens and the earth had him write this down, and we didn't have at this time 500 million copies of this around the face of the earth, did we? This was the only one. Jeremiah, with the words from God written in Jeremiah. And what did the king do? He cut it up and threw it in the fire. Anybody ever give you that response when you speak the Word of God? Huh? They have to me, that's for sure. They'll make fun of you. They'll say you're an idiot for believing this stuff. They say it's all old time, old folk tales. And yet, it's the Word of the Creator of the heavens and the earth that we're talking about. We're not talking about some other book. I'm not talking about Charles Dickens or, and those got good stuff, by the way. I always bring them up because I like it. It's a little more important than Dickens. Who gives a Dickens about? Never mind. Right, verse 24. And you know, previously we read the people who first heard it were what? Were afraid. And look at this, verse 24. Yet they were not afraid. Two reactions. You got one people who heard the word, and the afraid doesn't mean scared. They were reverent. They were in awe. Oh my goodness, this is important. And here they said, we don't care about that. Get out of here. Burn it. Throw it away. Different reactions. Verse 25, nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. They said, don't do that. This is important. Right? So you got these guys trying to stop the king from getting rid of the word of God. But the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Hammi, and these guys here, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. I told you, you're going to see the orchestration of evil against the word of God. You're going to see people being afraid of the truth. And you're going to see the deliverance of God. So God hides Baruch and Jeremiah. There's a good chance that if God hides somebody, you're not going to find them. Then the word of the Lord, verse 27, came to Jeremiah. After the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote of the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, okay, let's go back to the printing press, Jeremiah. Take thee again another roll. Okay. And write in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. Okay. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. And if you go to the previous chapters of Jeremiah, you will see that is in fact written in the book of Jeremiah, that the king of Babylon was, and later too, that they were going to come and destroy Judah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat and in the night to the frost. You might have burned the scrolls, but this is what is going to happen to you. You know, the justice of God in the Old Testament was swift and sure. But the age of grace we live in today, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lot of that is deferred to a later time. But make no mistake about it, the justice of God is going to take place. Those who treat the word of God in the way in which this gentleman here treated it will not be happy, will not be blessed. Verse 31, and I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity, and I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim came had burned the fire, and there were added like besides unto them many like words. And King Zedekiah, now remember, this is Jehoiakim, Zedekiah is two kings later. So we just jumped two kings in one chapter, one verse. So we're now into the reign of two kings later, even though the one before was just 3 months. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. So you'll see this is a kind of a trend in poor Jeremiah's life. If you read the entire book of Jeremiah, God would tell him to say this, he would go and say it, and the king would ignore it. And the next king come along, he said, go and say this, and the king would ignore it. I hear even the next king comes, he doesn't listen to Jeremiah. Verse 3, and Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Zedekiah is a really interesting man. And Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. So he was out of prison this time for a bit. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt. And when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings, they departed. You know, Babylon was attacking Jerusalem. So the Egyptians come and attack. So the Babylonians take off because the Egyptians are attacking. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt in their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again. You'll see this. He says, look, Babylon's coming. Listen to me. They're coming. Babylonians take off now. Egypt comes. And Jeremiah says, listen, Babylon's coming. Don't get distracted. And the Chaldeans shall come again, verse 8, and fight against the city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying the Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city. He goes, look, if you were to destroy the entire army of Babylon and only leave a few wounded men, they would still beat you. Pretty interesting, eh? And it came to pass, verse 11, that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, thou fallest away to the call. He goes, you're working for the Babylonians. You're a spy. But you're falling away to them. You're on their side. Was he? Whose side was Jeremiah on? All, you know, and I would call him poor Jeremiah because all he was doing was speaking what God told him to speak. You know, when you speak the word of God to somebody, all you're doing is telling them what God has told you to speak. So don't take the reaction personally if it goes the way of Jehoiakim. Remember, the words are not yours. They're God's words. Treat them like as such, not the way the king treated them. Treat them as God's words. The God who made this where we live, everything that we have. And here, this guy says to him, look, you're on that guy's. You're just saying this because you're working for them. You're going to get a bit of money or whatever. Verse 14. Then said Jeremiah, it is false. I fall not away to the Chaldeans. You're lying. But he hearkened not to him. So Rajah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princess. So he's taking him to top guys in their kingdom, saying, look, this guy is a spy. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that a prison. You know, what do you get for speaking the truth? Back in prison. When Jeremiah was entering the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then this king is amazed. Listen to this. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, do you have anything from the Lord? So who does he go to when he wants the truth? Jeremiah, the one who is in prison. And Jeremiah said, there is. For so said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. I almost can't say, okay. Like I said, you're going to be delivered into the hand of the king. Don't you remember I told you this before? Moreover, Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, what have I offended against thee, or against thy servants, or against his people, that you have put me in prison? And he says, King, you put me in prison. Which are now your prophets which prophesied? We say, where are now your prophets which prophesied, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you nor against this land? He was a lot of guys saying, where are they now? Those lying prophets. Yet you put me, who speak the truth, in prison. Therefore, verse 20, hear now, I pray thee, O my lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. You see, in the middle of all that, the deliverance of God for Jeremiah. Now, times were tough. Very little food. Yet Jeremiah had a bit of food. He was taken care of. Verse 1 to 38. Then Shephatiah, the son of Mattan and Gedaliah, the son of these guys here, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, he that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live. See, what God had given them was a way out of what was going to happen. He said, if you guys go and serve the Babylonians for a while, you'll be fine. You'll be taken care of, you'll be protected, you'll have your own houses and places to live and all that. But if you don't do that, not so good. For he shall have his life for a prey and shall live. Verse 3, thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, we beseech thee, let this man be put to death. You know, you just read chapter after chapter, you see the attack again and again and again against the word of God. Do you ever hear of any attacks against the word of God in the day and time in which we live? Mm-hmm. Ever hear of any provincial curriculums, federal curriculums that are totally contrary to what the word of God says? Totally. It's an attack on the word of God. Make no mistake about it. Devil doesn't care about the rest of the stuff. Is an attack on the word of God and the lives of those who stand for the one true God. Just like here. Verse 4. Let this man be put to death, for thus he weakeneth the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them. For this man speaketh not the welfare of the people, but the hurt. Then Zedekiah the king said, this Zedekiah, right? Same guy. Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. You're the king. I can't do anything against you. I'm just the king. What a lie. But he's more concerned what people think about him and how he's pleasing these people than he is about the truth. Yeah, that's right. He wants to keep his office. And then verse 6, then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malachi the son of Ahimelech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. you know, if you read again, dung, crop, mire. Yeah. If you read his life, this is pretty common for Jeremiah. And yet he, you know, if you read Jeremiah 15, and in his days, in the days of Josiah, when the first king we talked about briefly, it says in those days, the priests had found the words of the Lord. They had found them. It's shocking and sad that someone had lost them. They were the words of God. But they had found them, and Josiah had read them, and they'd come back. You know, and there's a verse in Jeremiah 15. He says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Jeremiah lived on the word of God. And in the same context, he says, you know, God, I feel like I want to stop talking for you. Right? That's what he says in Jeremiah. He said, I don't want to speak. Every time I open my mouth, your word causes and gets me into trouble. And then he says, but the word of God is so, it's like a burning in my bones. I can't stop speaking the word. That's what he said. You see this in his life here. That's exactly what he's doing here. You think that maybe the last couple of chapters would have said, okay, like every time I open my mouth, I get burned. Something happens. Something stupid happens. What does he do? He speaks the word. He speaks the word. You know, this is, like I said, this is no different for you and me. Don't you ever stop speaking God's word. 2 Timothy, remember he told Timothy, you preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. You speak the word. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks. You remember what got you here, Timothy. The scriptures that made you whole when you were a kid. You stay with that word. It's exactly the same thing here. Exactly the same. Right. So Jeremiah speaks, and there he goes. Dung city. Verse 7. Now listen to this young man here. Now when Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, right, one of their eunuchs, which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Abed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, look, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he's going to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there was no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, look, take from thence 30 men with thee. This is totally the opposite of what I did a few minutes ago. Take 30 from thence, 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. See, again, God taking care. Abed-Melech, who's this guy? Approaches the king on behalf of Jeremiah. God again taking care of Jeremiah, despite verse 11. So this guy, Abed-Melech, took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by the cord into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, look, put these old clouts on under thine armholes, you know, put them over here, and they're going to pull them up. And Jeremiah did so. They drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, look, I'm going to ask you something. Look, don't hide anything from me. I can just say, Jeremiah, as if I've been trying to hide something from you. Don't tell me everything. Verse 15. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, look, if I declare unto thee, aren't you just going to kill me? Won't the not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, are you going to listen to me? Will they hearken unto me? Are you even going to take heed? Zedekiah the king swear secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, look, as the Lord liveth, thou that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the land of these men that seek thy life, although I did it before. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live. It kind of reminds me, you know, you tell people, look, if you will just believe on Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead, you will have eternal life. You will be saved. You know, how many times have you told that to people you know? I think of my family. You know, we've all told our family, just believe on the name of Jesus Christ, that he's your Lord, and that God raised him from the dead, and you will have eternal life. I'm not asking you to become a missionary and preach in China for the next 50 years of your life. Just believe on the name of Jesus Christ. And here, Jeremiah, just serve the king of Babylon. Just do it, you know. Well, a lot of Jehoiakims in the world. verse 40, you shall live, verse 14. But if thou wilt not go forth, but if you won't believe on Jesus Christ, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee. Look, listen to me, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee. So it shall be well unto thee, and thy soul shall live. But if you refuse to go, this is the word the Lord hath showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the kingdom of Judah's house shall be brought forth the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunken in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all the wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause the city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto him, look, don't tell anybody, and thou shalt not die. Because if these guys hear that I have talked with thee, that's what he's more concerned about. And they come unto thee and say unto thee, declare unto us now what thou hast said unto the king, hide it not from us, and we will not put thee to death. Also what the king said unto thee, then, you know, I want you to tell him a lie. Tell him that I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house. He goes, don't tell him what you told me about this. Just tell him that you were asking to protect your own life. And verse 27 and 28, that's exactly what he did. And verse 28, so Jeremiah abode in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. We're going to close in chapter 39. Now again, the deliverance of all three chapters. The attack on the word. People not willing to listen to the truth. And then the deliverance of Jeremiah every single time. And we'll close in chapter 39. In the ninth year of King of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Isn't that what Jeremiah had said was going to happen? And all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, so apparently Zedekiah hasn't given up. In the 4th month, the 9th day of the month, the city was broken up, and all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even these men. And it came to verse 4, and it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them, and all the men of war, when they fled, and went forth out of the city by the night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls, and he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them. See, he didn't turn himself into the Babylonians. They tried to run. Is that what Jeremiah had said? That's not what he said. Look what happens to him. You know, when you speak the word to somebody, if they don't listen to you today, seemingly nothing happens, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, the justice of God was different in the days of Jeremiah. But there is a time coming when Lord Jesus Christ is returning, and people are going to wish they had heeded the word of God. Here it happened a lot sooner. This is not very pleasant here. Verse 4, and it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them, and all of a sudden they fled, verse 5, but the Chaldeans' army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Rabbah and the land of Hamah, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Rabbah before his eyes. Can you imagine having your children killed before you while you watched? You know, all he had to do was listen to Jeremiah. All he had to do was do what those men who were servants to Jehoiakim did. Listen, be afraid. This is the truth. Listen to what the word of God is. Listen to this. Yeah, look. And then it gets worse. Also, the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes. So the last thing he saw was his children being killed, and then he took his eyes out. And bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and break down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, and listen to this is unbelievable. captain of the guard carried away captive into Babylon the remnant of the people that remain in the city, and those that fell away, that fell to him with the rest of the people that remain. But this guy, the captain of Babylon, of the guard, left of the poor of the people which had nothing in the land of Judah, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Now Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah. This Babylonian king had told these people, listen, take care of Jeremiah. Isn't that unbelievable? Look at this. To Jeremiah, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look well to him. You want to talk about the deliverance of God? In the midst of a dire situation, do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent, and Nebuchadnezzar, Rabsaras, and these guys, verse 14, even they sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the prison and committed him unto Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that they should carry him home. So he dwelt among his people. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to... Remember this guy, Ebed-Melech, the guy who took him out of the jail? Look at this. Saying, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil, and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee, but I will deliver thee. Look who God takes care of. He takes care of Ebed-Melech. He takes care of Jeremiah in the middle of a very, very dire situation, you know, if you read what happens. And thou shalt not be given into the hand of them of whom thou art afraid, for I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but by thy life shall be for but thy life shall be a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord. You know, so again, a bit long today, a lot of reading, but you know, it's neat to see that it's the same God that you and I serve today. The Word of God is constantly under attack. In this time, it will be in your life. Whatever you know of God's Word will always be under attack. Did Jeremiah give in to the attack? No. And that's only four chapters of a 50 multi-chapter book. You know, a few chapters. Yet, despite the attack on the Word of God, despite the evil, and that was an evil time. You might think there are a lot of evil than the times today. Take a close look at the times today. Pretty evil when it comes to reaction to God's Word, and things that people say about God's Word. And yet, despite all that, in every situation, every single time, God's protection and blessing of His people and his deliverance to Jeremiah was sure every single time. So you want, you know, you stand for a God that takes care of his own. Never forget it. You know, so really neat for me to see the days of Jeremiah, not unlike the days we live in. But thanks be to that we have a delivering God in the middle of all.